It's Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Tuesday, July 28, 2026. I'm Rick Bierling. In local news, police say 47-year-old Christopher Carroll Kevich shot and killed his wife, his six children, and then himself inside their Grand Haven Township home. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports the reason he did this is still a mystery.
We'll dig in some of the background motives to try to get answers of what happened leading up to the incident.
Captain Jacob Sparks with the Ottawa County Sheriff's Department says 47-year-old Christopher Carroll Kevich did not leave a suicide note, but there were documents in the house that could help explain why he killed his wife Amanda, their six children, and himself.
I don't have any specific note that was left. There was a lot of documentation that we seized from the scene, and processing that will take a while.
Grand Haven Township firefighters responding to reports of smoke in the home on Riverside Trail discovered the eight bodies Friday morning.
The cause of death for all the subjects was ruled gunshot wounds. For Amanda and the six children was ruled homicide. Christopher has been ruled suicide.
Deputies believe Carroll Kevich started several smoky fires in the house, and that killed the family pets.
Perished due to fire or smoke inhalation. There were several dogs and at least one cat.
Amanda Carroll Kevich was a substitute elementary school teacher. Until last month, Christopher was a vice president at the American Heart Association. The six children, ages 5 to 15, attended Grand Haven Public Schools. To his knowledge, Captain Sparks says police were never called to the home before.
This is an unspeakable tragedy that we may never completely understand.
I'm Phil Dawson.
A labor of love is transforming a historic church on Grand Rapids' southeast side into a vibrant community arts hub. WGVU's Dee Morrison spoke with the preservationist leading the project at Hermitage at Diamond.
I noticed that the intensity of the red is greater on this one than it is on that one. But it's just interesting because, you know, art is not a perfect science.
Carol Moore sits on the edge of the stage in the sanctuary of the 150-year-old former Third Reformed Church, admiring the newly finished rose windows.
The glass is from 1910, so it took a year taking pieces of glass, sending them back and forth to get close on the colors. They'll never be exact because they're not aged.
Kalenda Art Glass restored the windows.
Each one of these rose windows has 668 individual pieces of glass that are individually leaded together.
Grand River Builders refitted the massive 10.5-foot round window frames.
Nothing is round anymore. This building's been sinking.
Moore bought the property in 2017 for $100,000, dreaming of a community arts hub.
You name it, anything in the arts, I think, can happen here.
The next fundraising phase will update the 1875 building's interior with HVAC, plumbing, and accessibility, backed by community donations through a nonprofit collective.
People who have an interest in music or interest in the arts in general, or who are neighbors, or who just appreciate the restoration, have contributed. So we've got well over $1 million into this building, and we've got about $5 million to go.
I'm Dee Morrison.
Sable Homes is bringing affordable housing to Ionia County. WGVU's David Limbaugh attended the Knightstead Estates ribbon cutting in Belding.
This property that we're standing on today, that's now Knightstead Estates, has a long history.
Andrew Bitely is Sable Homes Land Development Vice President. The Rockford-based construction firm is bringing much-needed attainable workforce housing to the Belding community.
It was platted over 100 years ago, which means it was divided up into a city block with lots and houses and everything, but it was never completed.
Sable Homes is doing that now by utilizing housing tax increment financing. Doing so defrays infrastructure costs added to the cost of new home construction. Sable pays that cost up front and is repaid over time through future tax revenues.
We really were able to make this project possible, pay for the infrastructure that we're standing on here today, and more importantly, keep the houses at an attainable price point.
A three-bedroom home near Gooding Street and Crooks Avenue starts at $260,000. 17 new homes will make up the new Belding neighborhood.
A lot of credit goes to the city. They have a great master plan. They've made really positive strides to try and encourage people to come here.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, Belding has experienced slow but steady growth over the past few decades. Its current population is around 6,000 residents. I'm David Limbaugh.
Meijer has become the first retailer in the state to accept WIC benefits for online grocery orders. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
The Michigan Department of Health and Human Services announced that families participating in the special supplemental nutrition program for women, infants, and children, also known as WIC, are now able to shop with their WIC benefits online at Meijer stores. Amy Epke, MDHHS acting director, says, quote, WIC beneficiaries were already able to use their WIC cards for in-store shopping at Meijer, and offering online shopping will make it even easier for families to buy healthy foods, end quote. Online shopping will be available at all 122 Meijer stores in Michigan, where WIC clients can choose between curbside pickup or home delivery. The Michigan WIC program serves more than 187,000 women, infants, and children each month by providing healthy foods, nutrition education, counseling, and more. Michigan WIC plans to expand online shopping to other retailers in the future. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Zealand-based Gentex Corporation plans to open a manufacturing plant in Morocco to supply auto parts to its European customers. WGVU's Dee Morrison has more.
Gentex leaders announced the plan to open a Moroccan facility in the company's second quarter earnings report call. Chief Operating Officer Neil Baim.
Many of our international customers are focused on de-risking their supply base by increasing the amount of localized production in each region where they operate. This has created headwinds for our international growth. Specifically, several of our European customers are requiring manufacturing locations in the region to support their vehicles that are built and sold in Europe.
Requests from customers include base electrochromatic mirrors and advanced electronic modules, and leaders believe the plant will support future growth.
We believe with our operating discipline and the structure we are establishing in Morocco that the shift in manufacturing will not create a large increase in operating expenses. And with core technologies still coming from our existing facilities, we don't see this transition creating excess capacity in our core facilities.
Company leaders have signed a letter of intent, selected the site, and received Moroccan government support to create the plant. Gentex plans to start production in 2028. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up, WGVU's David Limbaugh speaks with veteran Troy Turner from Right at Home, Grand Rapids. In state news, the two candidates seeking the Democratic nomination for Michigan's open U.S. Senate seat held their final primary debate last night. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The candidates argued over USA to Israel, corporate PAC donations, and immigration enforcement. Congresswoman Haley Stevens is running as the establishment candidate with a record to run on and a history of winning tough races in a tough district.
Look, Michigan deserves a senator who can win and who can deliver.
Former health official Abdul El Sayed is running on a progressive agenda.
No matter where I go, people tell me, I need to be able to afford my groceries. I need to be able to afford my gas. I need to be able to see a doctor when I get sick.
The winner of the Democratic primary will face Republican former Congressman Mike Rogers in one of the most competitive Senate races in the country. I'm Rick Pluta.
President Trump put a positive spin on the nation's economic picture during a campaign rally yesterday at the General Motors Proving Grounds in Milford. Trump argued his tariffs on foreign vehicles have been a boon to U.S. automakers. And the president claims the war in Iran, which has caused oil prices to skyrocket, will only be a blip in the U.S. economy.
When the fuel comes down, which it did for a little while, then they didn't behave and I had to go back, and now they're behaving again. You know, it's like playing a banjo. But every day we're fighting to put more money in your pockets, and that's what we're doing, and we're doing it better than anyone. At the same time, we're making this country safe.
Some domestic automakers have complained Trump's tariffs have cost them billions of dollars and hurt long-standing supply chains. The president did not mention his recent threat of huge tariffs on some Canadian products or his fight over toll revenues, which delayed the opening of the new Gordie Howe International Bridge between Detroit and Windsor, Ontario. And an outbreak of an illness causing diarrhea continues to expand in Michigan. State health officials say there are now more than 9,200 confirmed cases of cyclosporiasis. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has linked the large outbreak to iceberg lettuce. There are investigations into other smaller outbreaks in the U.S. And that is state and West Michigan news here on Focus West Michigan from WGVU. In recognition of National Hire a Veteran Day on July 25th, WGVU's David Limbaugh spoke with veteran Troy Turner, whose military background fuels his passion for providing compassionate in-home care for veterans through his business Right at Home, Grand Rapids.
We run a home care business, so we take care of any adult 18 years or older in the comfort of their home. Most of our work is one-on-one, and we take care of people wherever they call home. So sometimes we do take care of people that may be in a facility or another community of different sorts, but most of the care that we provide is in the comfort of someone's home, whether that's an apartment, et cetera. And I would say the majority of people we work with, they do happen to be seniors. But again, we take care of people, anyone that's 18 years or above, and it's just one-on-one. usually hands-on care that we call companion care, which may be just helping out around the home with things, or it could be personal care, helping people do those main activities of the day, like getting dressed, grooming, bathing, and those types of things in their home.
Tell me a little bit about your service. You're a veteran, correct?
I am. I enlisted in the Navy out of high school, and I was lucky enough after getting through boot camp in A school to get picked up and go to the Naval Academy Prep School. I spent a year there and then 4 years at the Naval Academy. I took a commission in the United States Marine Corps and served as an artillery officer for 5 years, and I thoroughly enjoyed my time. I happened to be in between two Gulf Wars and never thought we were going back, but I tell people I enjoyed my time immensely and I'd be happy to go back and do it all over again. I would have a lot more fun the second time around and probably a lot less stress, but thoroughly enjoyed my time. And I enjoy in the work that we do today, getting a chance to interact with veterans, help them understand their benefits, and every now and then getting a chance to offer job and work opportunities to veterans as well.
What do veterans bring to the workforce?
I think what they bring to the work experience is one, understanding that a lot of things that we do are, you know, taking care of others, just that level of service, which is, you know, putting other people in front of ourselves. I think everyone in the service kind of begins to understand that's one of the first core things that they work into most of us, you know, whether you go through boot camp or you come in through officer candidate school or some type of program, is that we're not important in the team and the mission that we have to accomplish. And our mission here is really important because we're taking care of other people who really, really need our help. So certainly veterans understand that. They understand teamwork and the idea that, you know, I've got to work with other people and coordinate with a host of different people. Even though we may take care of someone, a lot of times, you know, there's family members involved, there's an office staff involved, there's a bunch of different people that play in that. So every caregiver that works for us has to be a team player and work well with others. And we've never had an issue with veterans understanding that. And I think the last piece is just the sense of responsibility and duty that people have to show up, to be there, to be present. And when they're present, to do the best that they possibly can. You know, those are things that make you successful and that are taught to you from the very first moment you're in the military. So,
how many veterans do you employ right now?
I think we have a couple in Grand Rapids. We actually have locations in Grand Rapids, also in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And we have offices in Northwest Indiana, and I probably have about 7 or 8 total across all three locations.
What did you take from your military experience that prepared you to own and operate your own business?
I think, you know, some of those same things. One, a sense of leadership that I gained in the military and leading people in larger organizations. Coming out of the military into the business world was a little bit of a shock because, you know, I went from commanding an artillery battery with 250 people to kind of working in a cubicle by myself in my first job. But over the course of 25 years in the business world, coming back to bigger positions and just understanding leadership and how to work with people together to accomplish a mission and a goal, I certainly use that every day. I wear lots of different hats. And in terms of having different responsibilities from everything from financial matters to customer and client matters to caregiver issues that we're trying to work through. So certainly everything I learned about leadership, everything I learned about just the importance of putting others in front of ourselves and just having a sense of duty to do the best that you possibly can do. All of those things are things I certainly learned and got a chance to practice and I still use to this day, every day.
What would you say to someone who is considering hiring a veteran for their own business?
I would say, one, you shouldn't have much hesitation, but they make great employees and they have initiative. Sometimes they just need a little bit of direction. I would say one of the things I think most veterans, especially if you're coming out of the military, it just takes a little while to transition. You're used to always having leadership present and having a sense of direction and feedback. And I found outside the military, sometimes that's harder to get. And people, there's not as much direction. Sometimes there's not as much explicit instructions. And it's not that people are used to following orders all the time. They're just used to understanding what good looks like. And usually people in the military are given latitude to accomplish the goal and not be told how to do that, but to be given direction on what good looks like in the end. And sometimes it takes a while to figure out that transition and how to lead them. They don't need to be micromanaged. They just need to know what good looks like. And for the most part, you just need to step out of their way and let them get their work done and make sure that they have the resources and everything they need to get their work done. So that's what I've always enjoyed, and understanding that. And I think anyone that's looking to hire a veteran, you know, if you could just give them a little bit of guidance and stand out of the way, they're going to do great things for you. You know, certainly if anyone is ever interested in working for us from a right at home perspective, all they have to do is just reach out. You can find us at www.homecaregr.com, and we're always happy to talk, or if we can do anything to help assist a veteran. You know, we certainly take care of veterans as well, and that's always a passion of ours. So if there's veterans out there that either need our help or are looking for a job opportunity, we're always here for them.
Troy Turner with Right at Home Grand Rapids, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
WGBU's David Limbaugh with Troy Turner from Right at Home Grand Rapids. And that is Focus West Michigan for today, Tuesday, July 28, 2026. I'm Rick Bierling. Patrick Center is WGBU's News and Public Affairs Director, and we will see you tomorrow.